You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossoff. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Amen. You know, God loves you, and there is no substitute for the presence of God in the earth. One day when the church is raptured, then this world will find out what it is to live without the presence of God. That's going to be a holy chaos, something that this world has never seen when God lifts His presence out of this world. But right now, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I don't know what you are facing tonight, what you're going through, but I want to tell you that God's presence is still the answer. You know, Moses, when he cried out to God, when they had to go into the promised land and they faced all these giants and all these challenges, one thing he asked God, he said, if your presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. Before that, he said, how will we be different from the people of this world? Your presence. And that is the promise we have tonight, that God said, as truly as I am God, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When we talk about the knowledge of the glory of God is the manifest presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ, which is the goodness of God manifested in your life, in my life, in this world. I know when you switch on your television, I sometimes want to say hellavision, because all we see is gloom, doom, disaster, turmoil. We hear about so many negative things. That is why we have to come, like tonight, in your home, in our churches across this country, and we reposition ourselves in the presence of God. This is where we find our sanity. This is where we find our bearings. This is where we find our safe and secure place, right in the presence of God. So they're in Pakistan, so many hundreds of thousands watching in Pakistan. They're in Russia, in Ukraine, all over Eastern Europe. God bless you. India, we welcome you tonight from Israel, from America, all over Africa, China. We welcome you tonight. I believe God is doing a great thing, and we have so many of you respond, and a lot of love from South Africa to all of you, but especially to those of you in Pakistan. We see what's happening in Afghanistan right next to you. And we pray that God will keep those Christians safe. And we pray that God will use the church in Pakistan to be a voice to the Taliban and to others in Afghanistan, so that those people will be protected and be able to serve God in Jesus' name. These are great, challenging times, but we were predestined for this hour. We were born for this time. We are not hopeless. Jesus is still on the throne. The grave is still empty. We still have a future. We have a hope, but we also have a great responsibility. So welcome tonight on Faith TV. Welcome to those on Praise TV. Good news, soon our services will be broadcast live from South Africa all the way to Pakistan, all over India. That's a great, great, great thing that we're excited about. 3-hour time difference. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, CRC Online, radio stations. Let's welcome everybody from Tshwane, the capital of South Africa, and the tens of thousands of people here tonight. God bless you. Welcome for being here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It's like this lockdown has been so long that many of you have had to go back to children's church. So welcome, sitting in our children's church facility, sitting outside, sitting in places all over our facilities. I know it's not ideal, but this is what we have, and we will use it for the glory of God. This morning we had thousands of people legally in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, and also in Bloemfontein. And I say it loud and clear, to hell with the devil. We are not yet to roll over. We are yet to take over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the person next to you, that's your husband, your wife, your spouse, because we do practice social distancing, the person sitting right next to you, give them a high five. They're in your home as well, and say, this is our time. This is our time. Don't know about you, but I really have a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose. People are phoning me all the time and sending me SMSs and saying, Pastor, are you okay? And I say, why are you asking? Are you kidding me? We were born for battle. We cannot be intimidated. We will open our windows bigger, and we will pray louder, and we will preach louder, for the glory of God. Amen. Because we know whose we are, and we do not fear those who have the power to kill our physical bodies. We serve a God that is alive. So we will continue to fight for the cause of Christ and for our churches to be opened. Because this country is not doing well without the church. And I want to tell you and say how committed we are behind the scenes to engage with key political leaders, with those in the police. This morning I spoke to two generals who were in the service, both members of our church, very senior positions in the police. We will not allow certain things to continue. More are those that are for us than those that are against us. If you believe it tonight, come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. This is the time for real Christianity. Take your seats. Thank you very much. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's get into the Word tonight. Are you happy? Healthy? You believe you have a great future? You know, I'm looking forward for the days of revival, because I promise you I'm going to line up people around the building to lay hands upon them. But wait a minute. I'm first going to do a lap of honor myself. I'm going to put myself first in the prayer line, and I'm going to pray for myself first. And those days are drawing closer, because people aren't doing well without the presence of God, and we are doing everything we can to wake up the church and to wake up leaders that just don't seem to get it. What is at stake? The urgency of the hour. That this is no longer just about the health of people. This is about a much greater agenda. So, my message tonight, I know I'm a little intense, but there's a reason. You don't fight a battle with a smile on your face, and I've not seen a lion walk in the jungle with a big smile. Okay. Except if he's home and everything is okay. But other than that, we have to dominate. We have to take territory, and we have to defend the faith. We were born for this hour. Kumbaya Christianity is not going to do it. Silent night is not going to do it. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is not going to do it. We need a new breed of Christian rising up in the church. The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and who understood what Israel had to do. I always tell people, and I sat with the leaders this last week, all of them over 60, 70, and I said to them, we don't have to fight this fight. Because we're okay. But if we don't, who will? What about the generations that are still coming? What about the generations that are not even born yet? This is our battle to fight. Those of us that have been Christians for many, many years, and those of us who stand in the office of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, this is our battle to fight. We cannot look the other way and act like everything is okay, because it's not. The latest crime statistic shows that it's not okay in South Africa. Violent crime has increased 60% over the last year. That's not good news, Minister of Police. In this lockdown, crime is escalating. 23,000 young teenagers fell pregnant just in Gauteng. Many of them 10, 11, 12 years old. That's statutory rape. So groot Engelse woord vir Afrikaner. Why are those rapists still free? And our churches are being patrolled every Sunday. So this week we will deal with certain things. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, the Bible says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. It's not an option, it's a command to be brave. To be strong, not to put your tail between your legs and run away, not to make a truce with the enemy, not to ignore the enemy, because the enemy, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And you better believe, my brother and my sister, the church of Jesus Christ is squarely in his sights. More than ever, we need people that will be strong, people that will stand for the faith. I said to a father of the faith this last week, I said, if there's one thing left to do, then defend the faith. Stand up for the faith. Stand up for Christianity in South Africa, in our world. You know, the pastors in Nigeria got together and they just said to the politicians, we will not shut our churches down. And the politicians said, okay. Country needs a church that is watching, like the sons of Issachar, a church that discerns the hour, a church that is standing firm in the faith and that defends the faith. Not just faith that meets your needs, but faith that is on behalf of Christianity. If things continue the way they are, where will we be next year? I'm not a pessimist. But we cannot allow things to deteriorate on our watch. We cannot be asleep on our watch. We have to be brave. We have to be strong. Isaiah 62 verse 6, God says, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent. So we're going to knock on the president's door with letters, with every effort until they open the churches. We are going to challenge the final few meters where the regulations are changed from Parliament, from the Minister of Cocktail, until the President opens his mouth. We will challenge those who are tampering with the church and the future of the church in South Africa. We challenge them. We pray that God removes those whose hearts are against the church and those who advise our President inaccurately. We pray for our president, but we pray that the evil advisors be removed. We will continue to pray, and we will give God no rest until he makes South Africa a praise in the earth, Jerusalem. So as watchmen, our responsibility is to have a watchful eye, to discern, not with a natural eye, but with a spiritual eye, what is happening in our world. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see what is happening in the world, and I don't want to talk about these things too much. But for the first time, there is one scenario, and anybody that challenges that is silenced. Science is actually a platform of deliberation. Medicine always has been a platform for deliberation. For the first time in the history of the world, there is no allowance for anyone to challenge the status quo. Does that not concern you? Now, please. If I use the word vaccine, then the keyboards go red hot. Are you for the vaccine? Are you against the vaccine? Listen, fight the devil any way you can. Walk with the Holy Ghost and follow the guidance of your heart and stop trying to impose your beliefs and stop trying to put the devil behind every bush in Jesus' name, okay? So Isaiah makes it clear that we're in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible says, be sober. Can't be sleepy, sleepy. Can't be sleepy, Joe. You have to. I didn't say anything else. Okay, there's a lot of Joes around. But there's a Joe that's very asleep right now. We have to be sober. It says, be vigilant. Because your adversary, your opponent, the adversary of the church, who disguises himself as an angel of light, walks around like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he has a roar. Are you listening to me? He will roar against the church. He will roar through political leaders. He will roar through the Illuminati, if you believe in them. He will roar. And you discern his tactics when he roars. Many people cannot discern the roar of the enemy. They think the roar of the enemy is judgment of God upon planet earth. Listen, we're living in a new covenant. God is not judging the earth. God never sent COVID to planet earth. God is not in partnership with the devil. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. John 10:10 said, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So this COVID is from the pits of hell, whether it was manufactured in a laboratory, whether it evolved. This disease does not come from God, but it will turn out for the glory of God. What Satan thinks is a masterstroke God will use as the seed of the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. You better believe it. That's why we're not going to go silent, and we will not be intimidated, and we will not go crawl in a hole, and we will not be comfortable. We will come to our church buildings, even if I have to sit in my car and listen to a radio. I will silently protest. I want to be at the house of God. I need my religious freedom in South Africa. Come on, somebody that feels like me, passionate about the Church of Jesus Christ, jump on your feet and give Him a praise and your hope tonight in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not rest, we do not war according to the flesh. So we understand that this is a spiritual battle that manifests in the natural. But we are called to be watchmen in this hour. We are responsible. My greatest battle has been to convince religious leaders of our responsibility, that we will give account for this hour. You know, if you were in a military background, then if you went out on patrol or wherever you were deployed, you always had people that had to stand watch. If the watchman was asleep, the enemy infiltrated and he destroyed you from within. So the church's greatest enemy are those within the church that is asleep. Hear me very carefully tonight. That are stopping those that want to proactively, safely and responsibly open our churches for the glory of God. And you say, Pastor, you sound like a stuck record. I'm going to be the stuck record until we get what we want from God, because there's no way that this world will be okay, and that our young people will be okay, and that families will be okay, and that young people will be out of addiction while our churches are closed. We need our churches open. We need our children in children's church in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, we have young children that come to church. Just recently, a little girl that was raped the night before. And when we could open our churches, she came and she was bleeding while she was sitting there. And I have to think every Sunday morning, how many of those kids have no hope because they're not allowed to come to church? Then I say, Mr. President, allow us to bring the children to church. The adults will stay home. But allow us to open the church for the children. If they can go to school, surely they can come to church, and we can take care of them and love on them and give them hope and give them vision and deal with their moral issues. Give us our children in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that Satan is after the next generation. So I'm so tired to listen to Christians who say all you need is your Bible and your closet, and you're okay. You might be okay, but the child in the township, the child in the informal settlement, the child that's being molested, the child that's being abused is not okay. The child that is being underfed is not okay. We need our churches open so we can have these children come, so we can take care of these children in Jesus' name. We need to watch and pray, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And please, please, asseblief. Now I'm going to be knocked for this one. Don't make the vaccine the Antichrist. I didn't say I'm for and I didn't say I'm against. I said fight from day one this virus every way you can, with faith and science. And follow the Holy Ghost in your heart. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, if you still have the Holy Ghost. One person chooses to be a vegetarian doesn't mean I will be a vegetarian. I tried that once and I think I almost died. My wife put me on a vegetarian diet, and all I had was just vegetables and pastas and everything. Everything doesn't work for me. And I was like a flat battery, Rulani, because I'm a meat eater. I'm a lion. I need some meat. The brother needs some meat. The brother doesn't need just, you know, vegetables. It's like chicken. Chicken for me is like vegetable. chicken and fish. That's like the vegetables, okay? So that didn't work. So what works for one person, it's like somebody lost a lot of weight, so they say I became a vegan. I'm very glad. Just make sure you remain your Christianity and don't impose your veganity. That's my own word, okay? I'm Afrikaans. Upon everybody else, okay? Don't do that. That's for you. That's not for me. I still want to hold on to some muscle. Come on now. So, as watchmen in our world, we have to get it. Just listen to me. When you get close enough to the pain of people, you get it. Too many of our politicians, the only thing they do is they sit in their offices and they write laws and regulations. They're not close to the people. Too many pastors, too many ministers, they're not where the people are. I go to gym every day of my life, and every day I hear tragedy, hurtful stories, every day. How can we act like the world is not broken and the world is not in a mess and people are not desperate? If just among teenagers, where this should be the happy years of your life, till you get married, then it gets happier, amen? Or for some, happier. So, your teenage years should be fantastic. Your friends, your sport, in between break, it's all taken away. It's like our young people have lost something. And after 18 months, do we still not have this figured out? Do you want to tell me the greatest brains and the greatest minds in the world still doesn't have this figured out? If they haven't got it figured out after 18 months, they are never going to figure it out. Let's just be realistic. That maybe this is a challenge we will have to live with for the rest of our days. And that makes us more vigilant. That should make us more determined to be watchmen, to keep ourselves, to be ready when Jesus Christ comes back for ourselves, but to raise our children in the ways of God, to raise our families in the ways of God, to raise people in the ways of God, to testify with a greater passion, to watch, to pray, and to blow the trumpet, to pray and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church. We cannot be silenced. We cannot be neutralized. We cannot climb in a hole and no longer preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God more than ever. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. You know, when I watch television and I see the rebellion and I see the rioting and the anger and things in young people, I see myself, how I was. And I said that to those police officers this morning. I said, that was me a few years ago when I was a teenager. Amen. That what we see is a moral issue. The decay, the rot, the depression. It's because Christ is taken out of society and somehow our politicians aren't getting it because they're trying to be the savior. They're trying to be the deliverer. That's what the Antichrist does. I never said our government is the Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist, if you look at the world organization, it is to dismantle religion so that a new world order and a new world religion can be established. And their greatest threat to establish that is Christianity. You can go read it on the page of the most powerful organization in the world, documented in 2000, that we have to dismantle Christianity. And the way we will do that is to divide Christians on doctrine and on issues that they cannot agree with. And still today in South Africa, we cannot agree on the basis that we exist to glorify God and we exist to bring lost people into the kingdom of God, no matter what your theory or your theology, that we are here not just to be subservient rollovers, little compliant individuals. We are here to represent God. We are here to preach the gospel. We are here to make disciples of all nations. That is who God called us to be in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, after having many meetings, they're doing a pretty good job of dividing the church. of creating a backstabbing environment where people cannot put their differences aside to defend the faith. And I ask this all the time. What does the future look like for the church? One of those two generals said to me, Pastor, I recently traveled through Europe and all those church buildings are empty. Is this where South Africa is heading? I said, you better believe it is. Because already church buildings are being auctioned. Property developers are buying church buildings. Buildings are running empty all over South Africa. Churches are closing. And do you think that politicians will mind this? No. But surely those who have authority, and many of them watch me, you don't like me, I know, but you watch what I say. Many of you have to turn in your hearts and turn for the cause of Christ and stop being silent. Bible says, those of you who make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. I've said, watchmen on your wall, you cannot be silent. We cannot be silent no more. And I'm not saying we speak against. We speak for the hurt. We speak for the lost. We speak for our cause. We speak for the church. There's enough to speak for. This is the state of our nation after a year. Where will we be another year from now? And I don't care what the minister of police says, that violent crime has increased 60% because of the lockdown. How is it even possible if we are so restricted? Where are we going to be a year from now if you do not allow Christians, the salt and the light, to fulfill their responsibility and do what God called them to do? We are the time when the enemy comes in. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up his standard against him. That means the church has to wake up. The mighty men and the women of God have to wake up in Zion in Jesus' name, so that the Lord can roar from Zion and push back the forces of darkness in Jesus' name. Habakkuk 2 verse 14, the Bible says, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. So we have a promise before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to make sure that that happens, to act responsibly, to understand what is at stake. So watchmen, listen, we are responsible for this generation and for generations to come. This is not a game. We will give account to God for this hour. We will stand before Jesus Christ and we will give account for our lives, but also for the lives of the generation that God has placed us in. So this couch potato Christianity, those of you that have gone into a slumber mode, fighting your wives to go to church, etc., saying this is the way you want to do it, I pray by the end of the year you wake up, my brother. I pray by the end of the year you get yourself back in the presence of God, and come 2022, you get your blessed assurance in the house of God and you become part of the program of God, so God can use you to turn your world right side up in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're here to discern the time we're living, to discern our responsibility, to accept our responsibility, to discern the spirit of the Antichrist. How? Through the Word of God, biblical prophetic scripture, and through prayer. And through the true prophets, not those who tell you your name. I'm not interested in a prophet who tells me my name. I know my name. Amen. People get impressed. They say there's somebody that in town that can tell you your name. I know my name. Familiar spirits tell you who you are because you forgot. I haven't forgotten. I say, is there a John yet tonight? Let's offer you honor for your honors, or for Jan, or something like that. Or a Joan, or Joanna, something. Paul. That doesn't seem all right. We have to discern the wicked schemes of the enemy. If we fall asleep on our watch, then the city will be overrun. I understand the Bible says, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman rise in vain. But if the Lord keeps the city, the watchman better rise. Because that's how God is going to defend his city, through the watchman. We have the authority. We have the keys. We are the watchman on the wall. Amen. So as watchmen, we have to pray and we have to proclaim. The other heavy revelation, let me leave you with that. Ezekiel 33 verse 1, the Bible says, against the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and he warns the people, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. What's he talking about? People that are saved and people that are not saved. We are those called as watchmen to stand between the living and the dead, to pray for people to come to salvation, and secondly, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all have the responsibility for our friends, for our family, for our neighbor. You may be the last person, the last opportunity for that person to get to heaven. Listen, I'll take it to the New Testament next week. It says, but if the watchman, you the watchman, I'm the watchman, watchwoman, sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet. I mean, people are dying. And all we think about is keeping people safe. How many of those people are dying without Jesus? And the people are not warned. And the sword comes and takes any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Well, that's a heavy revy. That means you're accountable. You are your brother's keeper. You are responsible for the prodigal son. You are responsible for the lost sheep. There is no Christianity where you crawl in a hole with your Bible and the only thing that matters is you and your little religious experience with Jesus Christ. That's not what you will give account for when you stand before Jesus one day. So you, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from me and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood I will require at your hand. Well, that is so deep, I can't go there now because my time is up. But we are ambassadors for Christ before we are generals, politicians, doctors, lawyers. We are responsible for the salvation of mankind. Our first assignment is to take people out of the clutches of hell and to get them into heaven. So the Bible says, if we just live this nonchalant Christian life, as so many people suggest, where we just live for ourselves and we forget that people who die without Jesus Christ will go to hell eternally. Those people that crosses our path, their blood will be required at our hands. Well, I'm going to take you to the New Testament next week and show you that this Christianity is not just about a goosebump. That this deception, that it's all about your safety, is not the essence of the Bible. Sure, we put nobody at risk. But every time you climb in your car, you're at risk. Every time you climb on an airplane, you are at risk. Every time you wake up, you're at risk. Every time you ride a bicycle, somebody can cross a red robot and drive into you in Jesus' name. So we're at risk all the time. But what should overshadow that is our calling, our responsibility as watchmen, the realization that we are accountable for this hour. You will give account. It's inescapable. Spoke to a brigadier and she said, Pastor, nobody can decide. You die, you go to purgatory, and maybe you will go to heaven. No. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you, paid the price for you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight, you can pray that prayer. You can give your life to Jesus. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you right now. Put your hand on your heart and say these words, easy as that. Say it. Say, Jesus, I accept you tonight as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.